Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is exhausted by his travels. He sits by the well of the great patriarch Jacob. A woman from Samaria seeks the water from the well. He asks the woman to go get him some water. She responds with shock, given the ethnic dislike between both Jews and Samaritans. Jesus seemingly passes over this subtle jab by the woman. For in him there is neither Jew nor Samaritan. There is only the forgiven child of God. And this indeed is the gift of God. This is God giving his Son as a ransoming gift to all sinners. Jesus is himself the only source of living water, welling up unto eternal life. But like Nicodemus before her, she does not yet comprehend the words and the offer of Jesus. She thinks the water that Jesus gives is superior to Jacob's well, in that now she will have somewhat of the prototype in her house of a vending machine. She will push a button and all of a sudden it will dispense a bottle of crystal clear water. Jesus asks her to go get her husband and to come here. She thinks here means the physical place of Jacob's well. But here is Jesus himself. Here is Jesus, who is the one source of true living water, the one who is the very place of true worship in the Spirit and in the truth. Also, in having the woman call her husband, Jesus introduces, throughout the Gospel of John, we see this, the point of spiritual marriage between him, the faithful bridegroom, the faithful head, and she, the wayward, sinful bride, the church. She admits to having no husband. But yet, almost in mid-sentence, Jesus cuts her off to tell her what she already knows. You have had five husbands, not just one. But this woman's past is not here to be dredged up. Rather, what takes center stage in this text is that a time is coming when the traditional locations of Samaritan and Jewish worship will be replaced by a new place of worship, which is Jesus, and he calls it in spirit and in truth. Not to mention that the woman already knows her past. She already knows her guilt. She knows that she has been chewed up and spit out by five husbands. Or wait a minute, was it that she chewed up and spit out five husbands? Or likely was it a mixture of both? Whatever the true story was, is not the point. You don't come out of that unaffected. For she has scars, deep ones. Ones that accuse her, ones that convict her, ones that still abuse her, and ones that still hurt, even after all of this time. I think it's fair to say that we've all got our broken wells that cannot hold the water of life. We know, and we've been told over and over again, that the living water is found only in triune God. But we still keep our own water supplies on hand. The water may quench for a time, kind of like family or employment or good health or just simply having nice things in life. Or maybe it's a life that's filled with backwash that hovers at the bottom of a bottle of our well, like doubt or unbelief that leans towards some sort of addiction to something that we are trying to find and use as a sort of conduit towards peace. I mean, some of our wells manage to dry up over time. We forget, or at least we keep that well very well hidden, if you will, from the surface. That is, until someone falls into the well, until that gaping wound finally keeps you from concealing it anymore. I mean, are there things that you have kept from the most closest family member or spouse in your life? And if they were to stumble upon those secrets, would it mean the end of that relationship? Certainly so, we believe, and so we keep it hidden. But we all know that God knows. God knows, and God says to the prophet Jeremiah, to the house of Judah, "For my people have perpetrated two evils. First, me they have forsaken, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out for them cisterns, broken cisterns that are not able to hold water." Not only do we leave behind the water of life, we turn to the broken wells of this life, and we drink its bitter water of sin and death. And over again, we dig our wells, and then we try and carry this well water back home in broken buckets. Try as we may, we can't get away from the springs of our sin that lie just beneath the surface. What springs from our flesh is completely polluted. It's not the truth, but it's a distortion of the truth. It's not light, but it's darkness. It's not life, but it is death. I mean, it sounds so awful to our ears, and even and especially to the ears of our self-made culture these days. But we have nothing good that we can call our own. The Bible asks us this rhetorical question: what do you have that you have not received? For from within, out of the heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evils come from within, and they defile a person. And if you don't see yourself somewhere in there, then you're in denial. You should go to the Ten Commandments, to that mirror. You will see that you have long denied what is true. Broken cisterns cannot hold water, for that is, every last one of them will break. Humans are not by nature generally good people. Some are just better at hiding their sins from others. There's no itty-bitty spark in us that just simply needs to be ignited by some sort of flame that we then become very loving of Jesus and His church. We extinguished that a long time ago in a garden where two trees grew. So don't trust politicians, and don't trust in celebrities, and don't trust in sports figures, and don't put your trust in your next-door neighbor. And do not, whatever you do, put your trust in yourself. All will eventually fail you and leave you dried out, dehydrated, and eternally dead. So where is the place of truth? Where is the place of grace and life? Where is the place of right worship? The Samaritan woman, she wants to know. She doesn't really understand what's going on. We don't understand what's going on, and we want to know as well. Well, the new worship of the Father is only for those who are born above by water and word, and so become by baptism dear children of the Father. Children who live the life of faith according to their Father's will and desire. We would learn later that in Jesus, the worded wellspring, eternal life, this Samaritan woman finally would arrive at, if ever so tentatively, with the conclusion of these words. Could it be possible that this man who's sitting next to me is the Christ? Even later we hear that she invites her fellow citizens to come and see the man who had revealed to her all that she had done. That man who might be the Christ. And then the scene finally ends on a dramatic note. The Samaritans were emptying out of their towns, and we're coming to Jesus. Not just to hear a prophet, a priest, a really smart guy who ended up figuring out her past, or some false teacher who happened to put all the various things together and then said, oh, this is what happened in your life. But no, she came and she was, and they were there, the people were there to hear the very I Am, the very Lord of heaven and earth. He was the very fountain and source of all abiding life. For God abides in life, and we in death. But then God abides in death, and we would abide in life. So if your throat is dry, if your stomach is upset and empty, if your heart and your soul are broken, then come and seek the I Am, the greater Jacob, who is himself a wellspring of eternal life. Everyone who drinks from all the other wells than this, the I Am, this Christ, will be thirsty again and again. So in this Lenten season, we repent that we have drunk from other wells. We repent of our spiritual laziness and our shopping for satisfaction in all kinds of broken cisterns and all sorts of stagnant wells. We repent and therefore bend the knee and drink the water and blood of life. The living water of the Son of God is as necessary to your spiritual life as water from the tap or from the bottle is necessary for your physical life. And He gives it not only to exhaustion, but He gives it unto death as He chokes out these words, I thirst. He is drained of all His life so that you can drink from Him and live. Whoever believes in Me, He says, shall never thirst. In His dying and in your drinking is the end of thirst. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. For the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, not just welling up, but gushing up unto eternal life. There's no other water like this. There's no other Christ that satisfies forever. So by grace you are saved. And this is the free gift that gives, and then gives some more. Whoever believes in Me, Jesus says, as the Scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this He said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive. And what happens, mind you, when the disciples of Jesus, made so by baptizing and teaching, receive the Holy Spirit? What happens? They speak the word of the Lord with boldness, with confidence, as the whole book of the Acts of the Apostles testifies to. And you, like those first disciples, have been given the Holy Spirit to speak of Christ in the place where God has placed you in your vocation. So what language, if you will, do the people speak in your life? Whatever it is, you know it well. You are of them, and so you can return like them, like the Samaritan woman did to her town. Your thirst has been quenched, and now they too need this water for their thirsty souls, and their thirsting bodies will one day turn to dust. And so they need Jesus, the wellspring of eternal life. For we sing with Isaiah in the Old Testament canticle and prayer and preaching, the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. And then this, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, proclaim that His name is exalted. So pray, beloved children, you who worship here in spirit and in truth, unto the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that the triune God would bring your speaking of Christ and His deeds into contact with thirsty bodies and thirsty souls. Pray that the triune God will feed your feeble words into cups that will hold the living water of God. and pray that your thirsty friends and family will drink the same water that Jesus gives, that we all may never thirst anymore, until we again have all drunk the living water of Jesus Christ, rejoicing together beside the rivers of life in that golden and new Jerusalem. In the name of Jesus, amen.